Okay, so this has been something that has been meaningful to me. What is this thing that was meaningful to me and why, right? Like, so when I was pondering on this talk that I got to hear on a Saturday, April 6th, I was taking it all in, right? But as I've taken the time to review it like two or three times since then, in the last week or so, it's been really fascinating to just kind of go deep into why this talk is so meaningful to me, right? One of the reasons is because when I was younger, you know, let's say almost 20 years ago, I was prompted to pray for the first time, right? I had somebody that was teaching me what that looked like, right? And, you know, they had taught me to fold my arms and, you know, say the words. And it was just like a one sentence kind of prayer, right? It was kind of scary, right? It was kind of scary to believe that I could speak and my words could be of value, right? I had never considered that before. I had a lot of insecurity issues, self-confidence, all of these things, right? And I never really believed in my voice, right? I never really believed that my voice had any value or weight or could do anything, right? I just kind of thought it was, you know, my voice and my words were only, you know, transactional. They were for the purpose of maybe using them to make more money at some point in my life or, you know, get certain grades or those kinds of things, right? I had never totally actually valued what they could offer to others beyond that, right? And so, you know, when I think about this talk that moved me, it was like so meaningful because it's all about that. It's all about how important are, you know, our heart yearnings, right? And yes, they come out vocally. Best case scenario is they come out vocally, right? But another scenario is that it stays as this like beautiful inner intention, right? A silent utter in the heart is what is said by this speaker. So the speaker that was speaking was, his name's Jeffrey R. Holland. And it was just super humbling, right? Because he starts off the talk talking about how he was basically on his deathbed with his wife, right? Like at some point in the last 6 months. And he tells the story, right? Of how her life was taken, but his wasn't. And so he's just kind of this survivor, right? And it was just super humbling to just hear of his faithfulness, right? You know, him saying, yeah, like there was prayers given for him and his wife, right? The prayers that he had for his wife weren't answered. And the prayers for his life were, right? And, you know, he talked about that, right? He talked about how we have this heavenly parent that hears all our prayers and that it's according to, this is what he said, his cosmic timetable, right? And I just love that. I just was so moved by his level of faith, you know, even though the person that he loved the most was taken, you know, he was willing to see deeper, right? See beyond what the physical would tell him and really see what was the lesson for him, right? In him being able to connect even more with his father, right? Because in this faith, we pray to our Heavenly Father, right? And so, yeah, that was awesome. Then he talked about like shortly after recovering from like 6 weeks stay in the hospital, he talked about this thing where he was prompted with four things. And he felt like as he was prompted with these four things, he was feeling like, because this is one of the apostles, the current apostles of today, right? And so in this faith, they believe that, you know, Jesus Christ came when he came and he had 12 disciples, right? 12 apostles to help him in spreading the good news kind of thing, right? And then now like 200 plus years later, now there's apostles on the earth today again, right? And so there's this idea where he was sharing, he's like, I just feel like as I got these four promptings, it's like I feel like I'm literally getting the instructions just like the first 12 apostles did of doing these four things, right? So he talked about how he felt the urge to minister more, right? He felt the urge to be consecrating more. He felt the urge to be focusing on the Savior more, right? On Jesus Christ. He felt to have faith in his words. And then he goes into explaining a little bit more about, like, the overarching feel of what his talk was for me was just, not just, but was prayer, right? And so he goes on to explain the two aspects that are important to realize about prayer, right? You know, he talks about, one, when possible, when you're in private, when you can, like, the first priority is to pray vocally, right? And make that real for yourself, right? And then second is to have a silent, like, if you can't pray vocally, then have that silent utter in your heart kind of thing. Like, there's just so many sweet things that he said in that talk. You know, another quote that I love is he talks about prayer as a motion of a hidden fire. And he talked about, I liked that because that's kind of, that's meaningful to me because I'm kind of a fiery, spicy person, right? So it means something to me when someone else acknowledges that's a real thing inside of us, that there's this energy inside of us, and it needs to be expressed. It needs to get out and become productive in some way, shape, or form. And how beautiful it is for a person to be instructed to take that fiery energy, to take that fire and turn it into words, prayerful words, right? Powerful, prayerful words that have the power to, you know, in some faith circles, move mountains, right? So here we are. I really, really also love his notion where he's talking about how prayer, what prayer is like for him, right? He talks about how it's like the sweetest hour. It can be our most sincere desire. It can be our simplest time, the purest form of worship. You know, he talks about, you know, like urging this, you know, exploring the idea of praying in three different contexts, you know, praying individually, praying as families, praying as congregations, not shrinking away from those opportunities, to invite an opportunity to pray. Then he talked about how we can use prayer to plead and pray for a shield against temptation. I just thought that was so fantastic, right? Because there are so many forces in this world, so many voices, so many things that can crowd in on somebody that could potentially be very highly sensitive and be sensitive to situations that could trigger their anxiety and things like that. So it just made me feel so delighted that he could give that simple instruction. You can use prayer to allow for you to be shielded against temptation, right? When I think about temptation, personally, it used to be that it was temptation to, you know, use my language in a way to be hurtful to others and trying to correct that. Or it was like trying to be protected from the temptation to dress or to act in a certain way that was for the purpose of pleasing other people, to, you know, leaning into peer pressure or popularity, those kinds of things, right? Being influenced by others out of almost feeling like it was against my own will, but I just didn't have the reserves within me to realize it was against my own will or to stand up for my own will, right? So that's what it used to look like almost 20 years ago, right? But today, for me to pray for shields against temptation, it's mostly, most of my prayers for shielding against temptation actually have to do with praying for my children to be protected in that way, right? Having that deep prayer in my heart always that they will be safe spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, right? But for myself personally, I find that the prayers of my heart are more to do with, you know, making sure that I'm, you know, I got this term from this awesome book that I loved reading in the past 6 months. And it talks about this idea that we have a soul light within us, kind of in our chest. And, you know, it kind of gives the instruction for somebody to learn how to have a prayer in their heart, right? Because that's what this is about. You know, it's having that shield against temptation, right? And so the way that's explained in this book is so fantastic. The way that they say, you know, believe that you have this light, basically. Like, it's kind of like what I visualize when I'm doing yoga, right? That I have the seed planted in my heart and it's swelling with every breath because I believe that every one of my breaths is filled with light and love. And so it's nurturing the seed and expanding my heart and expanding it across the universe, right? And that's kind of what I see when I think about prayer as a shield against temptation. It's allowing for that love and that light to be expanded, yes, from my heart, but even beyond that, like beyond and beyond and beyond. Like almost like the way that people talk about light years and the way that they talk about, you know, this like telescope or not telescope, satellite that can go like through history and time. That's what I'm saying when I talk about this shield against temptation thing. It's like allowing for our light to have no boundaries, right? Allowing for our faith and our love and our light to have no boundaries. Limitless. It expands throughout history, backwards and forwards, right? That's kind of what I see when I think about asking for our prayer to be a shield against temptation. That's what I see, is like I want my heart intentions to have ripples of goodness for all eternity. All eternity before me and all eternity in front of me, right? So then it was cute because then right after that, you know, like that's the level of power of what a prayer against temptation can look like, right? For me anyways. But then after that, he talks about, hey, sometimes you feel prompted to not pray, right? I wouldn't even call that a prompting, right? That sometimes you feel to shrink, right? And he said very clearly, that is clearly from the adversary, because Heavenly Father would never want to feel disconnected from you, right? He yearns to communicate with his children any and at all times, right? And that was like one big confirmation of truth for me when I was listening to him speak. I was like, yes, I know that, right? And that's what got me 20 years ago when I started learning about prayer. Yes, it was kind of awkward, but the reason I wanted to pray was because I was taught that I was a daughter of a God, that I have a heavenly parent as a being who created this whole world for me, right? So that I could be alive at this point and get to know him even more in my earthly body, you know, because I had been already living as a spirit before coming to the earth and receiving my body, right? And so I just loved hearing that he wants to hear from us any and at all times, because I felt like that was pure truth. I just knew it. I was like, absolutely, because he loves me, right? He loves me. He loves all of his children, and he wants to hear from them. And he's not exasperated or too tired to listen or any of those things. He actually, his whole, like, I just love this one scripture from, like, Doctrine and Covenants. And it's like, it is my work and my glory to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Like, I just think that is like one of the most meaningful scriptures to me, because to me, it means I have a God, I have a heavenly parent that loves me and he prioritizes me. I am his number one priority, right? There's nothing else in this world that's more important than me, right? To him, right? And he shares that kind of undivided love to each of his children. It's not like I'm saying I'm some kind of special person that's above anybody else. No, he actually shares that undivided kind of sacred connection love with each of his children. I just love knowing that, right? And then I really like this one part from his talk where Jeffrey R. Holland, he says, hey, if you don't know where to start with prayer, you just need to start, right? Do the motions, right? Maybe get down on your knees, maybe fold your arms. He doesn't say those parts, right? But he just said, just have the willingness to start to pray, right? And then let the Spirit guide you, you know? And he says you might need to have the Spirit guide you in different instances where it's time for you to pray for your enemies, right? And you don't necessarily have the words to be able to know what to say in that kind of a prayer, because it might be beyond you in your level of faith yet, right? But that's okay, because Heavenly Father will help us. We just need to have that willingness if we're wanting to get anywhere, right? He's going to help us. So that was just super humbling for me. I'm still pondering all the little aspects of what this talk has meant for me, but I know for a fact that it's going to help me a lot with some of my heart yearnings, like this week, for example. You know, it's become really relevant for me that just having some lemon water. Just really relevant to start at the basics again, right? In my home and my family. You know, I do. I would love to inspire and help my children to learn how to pray, right? Start at the basics. You know, check in where they're at with their prayers, right? And to be diligent with my own prayers. Maybe I'll start a little like prayer journal, right? And be like, okay, well, I prayed about this. This is how it went, you know. I used to do this like writing thing where it was like a written prayer. And I might just have to start doing that again. We'll see. Like my whole idea with, you know, the direction that I'm going with my life right now is I'm learning how to do things in a way that is all about curiosity and experimenting with good intentions, good and righteous desires, right? It used to be that I had this like inner drill sergeant, you know, almost this like natural man, inner hyena kind of person that would just like really beat myself up inside, right? And be like, oh, like, you know, you really need to, you know, almost like pushing me to be so extreme in my movement forward, you know, to the point where whatever I would do would basically a detriment to myself rather than a gentling and being whispered into these good new habits, basically, right? And so that's something that I'm really, really grateful for, is just having that help and support from just like knowledge that I can acquire from this one speaker even, right? And being able to take it to heart and be like, yeah, I want to take action. I want to be able to improve and grow and allow for this talk to move me for the next 20 years, just like the first talks that I ever heard 20 years ago has moved me to where I am today.